NBC's Late Summertime Monitor. I'm Brad Crandall. Coming up, Robert Goulet and Barbara Feldon, Maxwell's smart lifesaver. Bob's first, though, with I Hear a Different Drummer. This is the one he means.
I hear a different drummer. I hear another beat. I'm marching to a rhythm from a distant street. I'd like to stay here, Johnny. I'm sure your song is fine, but I hear a different drummer playing mine. It pleases me to think that I think as I please. I'm bothered not at all when someone disagrees. He's welcome to his song, and any time it's played, I'll cheer the man along, but I won't join his parade. I hear a different drummer, I hear another beat. I'm marching to a rhythm from a distant street. I'd like to stay here, Johnny. I'm sure your song is fine, but I hear a different drummer playing mine. A man at Walden Pond began the song I hum. He learned it from his heart, not from a hollow drum. The note he struck was brave. He sang it loud and clear. When other music plays, only his song do I hear. I hear a different drummer. I hear another beat. I'm marching to a rhythm from a distant street. I'd like to stay here, Johnny, and I'm sure your song is fine, but I hear a different drummer. I hear a different drummer. Drummer, I hear another beat. I'm marching to a rhythm from a distant street. I'd like to stay here, Johnny. I'm sure your song is fine, but I hear a different drummer playing mine.
Barbara Feldon is a girl who has acted, modeled, danced, appeared in TV commercials, run an art gallery, helped her husband in business, and a whole lot of other things. But the role that won her national recognition is her current one. Secret Agent 99 in NBC TV's rollicking color series, Get Smart, starring Don, would you believe it, Adams. Barbara, welcome to Monitor.
Thank you very much.
Without you, Maxwell Smart would really never get out of all those perilous situations, would he?
Oh, I'm glad you noticed that.
Do you think most men need help in their difficulties?
Oh, my dear. You know what, you're opening a whole, what they call a whole can of beans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that brings you around to the whole idea of the Dagwood Bumstead myth, which I don't really go for too much. I don't think Max... See, what I like about Max, he's not Dagwood Bumstead. He doesn't ever really have egg on his face. He carries it off. Once he's been rescued from his difficulty, he carries it off with a kind of cockiness.
He makes it into an omelet, is what you mean.
He retains his sense of dignity, his sense of self. And the thing that I like about 99 is that her attitude to him is never condescending. She may hand him the trick to get out of a situation, but she doesn't do it and then look at the audience with her tongue in her cheek and say, oh, well, that's men.
The number fascinates me. Where did they get 99? Did they mark you down from 100?
Yes, exactly true. Well, they figured her number had to be 100, but they didn't think it would be nice to call a girl, hey, 100. It just doesn't sound very feminine, but 99 is very dainty.
Yeah, I suppose, when you start to think about it. Now, you didn't start off, of course, to become Agent 99 or even 100. What did you want to be?
Well, do you want to go all the way back to the beginning when I was 2?
Do you remember all the way back to the beginning?
Yeah, sure. When I was 2, mm-hmm. I wanted to be the princess of the stoop. You know, how every house has a front stoop, right? I mean, didn't you have a stoop on your house?
We had a stoop in my neighborhood, but we didn't talk about it.
Well, we had a front stoop. And when I was 2 years old, I used to get an old white dress. I guess it was an old baby dress that was in what was called the rag bag, which every good middle-class American household has. And I would put on this white dress, and I would sit out on the front stoop. And I would be the princess of the stoop, right? And I felt very powerful on our block until my mother came home from work, and she took the raggedy old dress off and put it back in the rag bag.
Uh-huh.
And then I graduated into wanting to be Pinocchio, right? Because that was the first movie I saw, and he was the star. He had the leading role, so that's what I wanted
to do. You wanted to be Pinocchio.
And then I wanted to be Tarzan for a while, which lasted a hefty summer or two.
You must have had some real casting problems.
And then I went into my Margaret O'Brien stage, which lasted a year or so. I think I wore lots of Peter Pan collars.
Went around dragging something behind you all the time.
I cried a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I got very mature about the whole thing, right? And I went into a whole full-blown Elizabeth Taylor bit.
One more question. What would you like to be doing 10 years from now?
Oh, living.
Well, that would be handy, yes.
I can't imagine where I have come. When in the last 10 years, the variety of paths that I've turned down would have beggared my imagination 10 years ago. I can't imagine. I can't even imagine the person I'll be 10 years from now. I hope that I will have grown and expanded so much that my life will be like 10 times as full as it is now, because it's certainly 10 times as full as it was 10 years ago.
Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you, I enjoyed it.
Everything you've just heard is confidential information, but you can quote her if you'd like. Barbara Feldon, mm-hmm. Secret Agent 99 of NBC TV's Get Smart, which begins another hilarious year Saturday night, September 17th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Modesty on Monitor. The instrumentalists, the trombones unlimited. Upcoming, a Tony Bennett classic on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Crandall back with your Sunday evening portion of NBC's weekend show, Monitor 66. In 3 minutes, Monitor's science reporter, Dr. Albert Hibbs, explores some of the scientific purposes of tomorrow's Gemini 11 flight. Right now, Monitor on stage. Into the spotlight comes Tony Bennett to sing I Left My Heart in San Francisco, just as he sang it originally at New York's Carnegie Hall.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gray. The glory that was Rome of another day. I was terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. Morning fog, may chill the air. I don't care, my love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco. Your golden sun will shine for me.
According to the Associated Press, school bells won't be ringing this year for the 30 children of Solms Bar, California, unless they get a teacher. The job pays $5,500 a year, lodging in a trailer is free, and if the teacher can drive the school bus, he can earn an additional $2,000. Seems to me there ought to be somebody interested in a job like that. Well, let's listen to the brass ring now. Their tune is Lightning Bug. Gone for 66, but not forgotten. Tomorrow, when Gemini 11 is once again scheduled to be launched, the spaceflight will involve some very interesting scientific experiments. Monitor's science editor, Dr. Albert Hibbs, who's also a senior staff scientist at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, is on our open line right now to discuss those experiments. Good evening, Dr. Hibbs.
Good evening, Brad.
Would you like to tell us about these scientific experiments that Gemini 11 will conduct?
Brad, there are generally three types of experiments. One set is directed back at the Earth. That's photography of cloud cover and other weather features on the Earth and the photography of geologic features. And also an attempt to photograph features in the dark side of the Earth with a special kind of television camera. Then there's some that are looking out into space, looking at the stars in ultraviolet light, photographing very faint dust particles. And another group, the third group, which looks at the environment around the spacecraft, cosmic rays, the wake of the vehicle, because there's still a bit of air, and some effects on living cells.
Well, now, weren't some of these done before?
Yes, as a matter of fact, some of them have, Brad. The last one I mentioned, the effect on cells, has been done before on Gemini 3.
Mm-hmm.
The photograph of the surface of the Earth, that's been carried out on 4 Gemini flights. The ultraviolet on Gemini 10, the wake measurement on Gemini 10.
Well, now, what's the purpose of repeating an experiment that has been done before?
In some cases, the single measurement just doesn't get all the data that's necessary, and of course, the photography of cloud cover, the clouds change constantly, so it's always worthwhile to get new patterns and see what can be seen. Some of the photography experiments could be done better with improved settings on the cameras, and then in some cases, of course, Gemini 8 in particular, there were a set of experiments which just weren't carried out because of the difficulties on the flight, so they weren't done at all, and they're being repeated on this flight.
Doctor, to what extent is confirmation of previous theories based on previous experiments used in this kind of a case?
Well, I imagine that in most cases the confirmation of theories will still it's some ways in the future if there's any big question. Most of these are simply observations which tie into theories that already exist.
I see.
Rather than the confirmation of something startling or new.
I see, sir. What are the results of the new scientific experiments liable to be, let's say, in terms of an astronaut landing on the moon?
I think probably the most effective ones will be those concerning the activities of the astronauts themselves, the use of the tools outside the vehicle. Now, that was one that was scheduled on Gemini 8 and not done.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not a man can operate a wrench or a screwdriver, of course, they're special tools. In this free fall condition will certainly have an effect on the ability of astronauts in future flights to handle themselves, repair their ship, and make maneuvers.
I see, sir. Thank you very much for talking to us tonight, sir.
Thank you, Brad.
Good night. Dr. Albert Hibbs, Monitor Science Editor in Pasadena, California. Don't forget, for continuing coverage of the Gemini 11 flight from pre-blast off to post-splash down, follow the historic event on NBC Radio and Television beginning at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern Daylight Time. Shelby Flint is here to sing on Monitor now in a somewhat reckless mood. Cast your fate to the wind.
A month of nights, a year of days, October's drifting into May's. I set my sail when the tide comes in. I just cast my fate to the wind. Shift my course along the breeze, won't sail of wind on memories. The empty sky is my best friend. I just cast my fate to the wind.
Now, a short message from the Allergy Foundation of America. If you suffer from hay fever, asthma, or other allergy, you can find out more about your disease, what can be done to prevent attacks, and what treatment may help you. Most allergy victims can be helped. If you're an allergy sufferer and would like information on the subject, send for a free pamphlet to Asthma, Hay Fever, and Other Allergies, Box 1005, New York 10017, New York. Right now, it's 3.5 minutes before the hour in time for us to listen to the Nelson Riddle Orchestra. Water is the title of our background music, and moving into the foreground shortly, Monitor News on the Hour. This is Brad Crandall.
This is Morgan Beatty. An American astronaut will maneuver in space. Complete coverage starting tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on NBC Radio and Television.